Good morning, Sunrise. Hey, can we thank Joseph and our worship team for leading us into the presence of the Lord? Nice job, man. Awesome. And he has great taste in clothes, don't you think? Rather than a typical biblical message, this is a farewell. If you are newer to Sunrise or visiting, about a month ago I announced my resignation. An email has gone out. July 1 will be my last Sunday. And there's a range of emotions. It was a surprise for a lot of people. There's now, a number of weeks later, there's sadness, there's disappointment, there's sadness for me. You know, one of the things I'm sad about, I don't work closely with our children's ministry, but you might not know this, but after a second service here when, opportunity to connect and visit and pray, and there's this group of kids. Have you ever noticed this? And they're little knee-biter kids, you know, and they take off their shoes and they run around this place. And moms give them snacks like Cheerios and goldfish and stuff, and they hide in the chairs. And sometimes I just sit at the end of a Sunday and watch that and think 60 or 70 years from now, maybe they'll be following Jesus. Little things like that, I'm certainly going to miss. But there is a growing, sturdy confidence, a well-rooted hope that Sunrise is going to be okay, that the Zand family is going to be okay. Can I get an amen for that? Yeah. And I want you to know I have loved serving here. Every minute of it. It's been a privilege of my life to invest in your lives. In some face of some families, it's been actually three generations, a grandfather, a father, and a son, for example. What a privilege. I've loved discerning and then unpacking our vision statement, Sunrise vision statement, to follow Jesus Christ, to become, to belong, and to bless. Some of you might remember a few years ago we had like town hall meetings and different gatherings and stuff. We were sort of working on this together. Over 400 people participated in that. And God really led us to that statement. That means a lot to me. I can kind of live inside. That kind of makes sense to me as I understand the scriptures and who God is and what our world is like and just what we're here for at all as Christians. It makes sense to me. Become is all about our relationship to God. I have loved seeing people pray to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior right here in this room. I've loved seeing people get baptized and hearing their testimony and their own words as they're becoming people of faith. I've loved connecting with others on our staff and other volunteer leaders to kind of discern our preaching calendar and build different sermon series into the year and then trying to craft individual sermons and then trying to present them. You know, I'm not much of a cook. My wife is a great cook. She does almost all the cooking. I do a lot of the cleaning. She cooks up food all week. I try to cook up one sermon a week, and I feel like in a metaphor, I'm trying to kind of share it with you, hoping it tastes good and does some good, you know, that kind of a thing. I can just tell you, Sunrise, you are a church that loves God's Word. I hope you will never leave that. Hold on to that. Loving God's Word, reading it, memorizing it, meditating on it, sharing it, texting it, reading it in YouVersion, whatever it is. I hope you will always love God's Word. Sunrise, I want to challenge you, wherever you find yourself today, to continue to become a follower of Jesus Christ. To continue to grow in your relationship with Christ. At one level, we were saved before the foundation of the world. We were saved on the cross. We were saved when we made that decision or so. But we're also being saved. We're also working out our faith with fear and trembling. Our faith is an active, forward-looking thing. Continue to grow. Press into God as He presses into you. I've loved simply connecting with so many of you in the foyer, so many people at Sunrise Cafe, hearing prayer requests right after the service, celebrating God's answers. I have loved going on bike rides with the geezers. You know, when I grow up, I want to be a geezer. Or Iola. That's the other person. Yeah. Either one. Man. Would be great. I love family camp. You know, seeing a church with no showers for a couple of days. You get to know people right there, let me tell you. I love men's retreat. Smash ball. Fun. I love going to Jordan and Israel with some of you. We walked where Jesus walked. Oh my. I loved speaking at Sunrise Chapel on Sunday nights. You guys are great cooks. I love dedicating children for parents whose greatest desire, beyond paying off the mortgage or getting their education or career worked out, is simply that their kids would follow Christ. And they've come into this place and say, that's our desire. Would you help? Would you pray? If you see ours running that way, would you kind of steer them this way? What a privilege. I've loved the privilege of praying in intensive care units for loved ones, literally on the doorstep to heaven. Our voices are some of the voices that people heard before hearing the very voice of God in heaven. I have loved celebrating the lives and the faith of our loved ones that have gone on to Christ before us. And seeing those services not just be a memorial service, but an evangelistic service, and in fact a worship service, because that person was intercepted by Jesus Christ in this life. I've loved praying over students before they boarded buses for Hume and then hearing of God's work just a week later or weeks into the summer. I've loved watching you care so practically for one another when someone's in the hospital and someone else is at their home taking down their Christmas tree lights or mowing the lawn or cleaning up the shop or bringing over food, doing the work of the body of Christ. I've loved watching God bring us new staff. Cliff Carey, Greg Triplett, Kim Shaw, Jen Cole, Ward Davis, Mark Harris, Rachel Jackson, Hunter Wenzel, and Michael Siebert, all hired in the last 5 years. And church, I thank you for adopting them. As you have adopted me, bringing them into your hearts and into our ministries and into life groups and into lunchtime appointments and all kinds of connections to make this not just be a place they work, but a place their families worship. Because they have marriages and they have kids and they're people too. So thanks for loving them. I've loved watching our preschool grow under the leadership of Trinity Wooten. I'm a fan. Amen. I've loved watching our support staff grow into new levels of responsibility and impact. I love that I could meet with Pastor Rich before finalizing my decision to share my thoughts and to pray with him for you. I love that on a separate occasion, before finalizing my decision, I could meet with Pastor Gene and Eleanor Kern, the founding pastors of Sunrise Community Church, to pray for you. You have three former senior pastors and their wives who love you. That is no small thing. This is all about belonging, and I want to challenge you, Sunrise, to belong deeply to one another. To pray for, to listen to love on, to walk through those 50-odd one another's in the New Testament. To forgive, to keep short accounts. You need each other right now more than ever before. Oh, I love joining you in lifting up Jesus Christ to our community at Bethlehem Village. There was a day I didn't know what Bethlehem Village was all about. When I just got, have you been to Bethlehem Village? Have you seen Bethlehem Village? Well, what could I say? You have to experience it. What a fantastic ministry. I love seeing people take new steps to serve our community, visiting and praying for our neighbors. Do you know there have been years past, more than one, when volunteers from our church have visited in excess of 500 homes around our church, simply calling on people and asking if there's a need in this home and that we could pray. sometimes praying right there in the doorway or being invited in or praying on the sidewalk, that there would be a different spiritual climate around this campus. A couple of years or many years now that we have ministered over 100 homeless people through Sanctuary at Sunrise, adopting the staff at Trajan Elementary School through Love Trajan. Thank you for doing that. A big day of service, joining with other churches and community groups just to make Fair Oaks and Orangeville shine. I love going to Mexicali with our students locked in a 15-passenger van with sweaty high school students amped up on sugar and Starbucks. Who wouldn't want to do that? It's not the trip down because there's showers before. It's the trip back, right? That's what you have to... What a privilege to see students step out in faith, loving people. To hear people say, yeah, Disneyland is okay, but Mexicali is awesome. You know, by the way, just as a parent, because our boys have come through the ministry here, every week is important and Tuesday nights and everything is important. But if you can get your kids or your grandkids to Hume and to Mexicali, 2 weeks, it costs a fortune. I know, we've done it three times, with every three kids, every time. It's worth it. It's worth more than what you pay. To be just dead straight honest with you, your kid, your it's worth way more than you pay. It's their life. It's their spiritual life. It's their future. Have that kind of discipleship and teaching and fun experience at Hume. And then an opportunity as a young person to say, you matter. You can carry the gospel of Jesus Christ into another culture, into another language. You can do that as a teen. Oh, it matters. Get them connected. Talk to grandma and grandpa about Christmas gifts or start saving. I don't know what it's going to take you. That's the way we did it. Get them involved with Hume and Mexicali. 5 years ago, we had a couple of short-term mission teams going out from Sunrise. Last year, we sent out 9, including recurring teams to Jamaica, Ukraine, Mexicali, and Asia. We have a team in the field right now. I've loved interviewing missionaries that we pray for and that we pay for so that they can share the gospel around the world. And you know what I love? Sunrise, more than any church I have ever known, and we've known quite a few as missionaries. We had 32 supporting churches, so we've gone to church in a variety of kinds of ways. Sunrise, more than any church I know of, has a correspondence between the missionaries they support and the members who attend. You can see the last names and you can compare and you know. We're not just paying and praying, we're sending our own kids into the cause of Christ around the world. And I praise God for that. God has sent and sustained some of us as international missionaries. Even recently, Juliana Law woke up this morning working with youth in Ukraine. Jason Chappelle woke up this morning working with youth in the Philippines. Jeremiah and Mindy Harton woke up this morning piloting and pastoring in Indonesia. And that all roots back to you, to God's faithfulness in our lives. Sunrise, you are a blessed church. Continue to bless one another. When you experience something awesome here, don't forget to grab one another by the shoulders, look each other in the eye, and just say, let's give this all away to people we don't even know yet. Because that's who God is. That's what God does. We have much to celebrate this morning. We can celebrate that Sunrise is debt free. Isn't that awesome? We can celebrate that Sunrise has an operational reserve of 10 weeks. That is a great financial position to be in. Let me encourage you to continue to give financially to the cause of Christ here at Sunrise. Your staff will use the resources provided to do great ministry. You give them the tools and they will wear out those tools doing things like Kidtastic Adventure, our vacation Bible school starting tomorrow. God has a calling on Sunrise, friends. It is a high and holy calling to love our neighbors, to love the next generation. Friends, we need to continue our unchanging commitment to the unchanging Word of God, but we need to be more innovative than ever, more flexible than ever when it comes to methods, to how we express the biblical faith we've been given. Well, this might not surprise you if I say that this whole process has led me to quite a bit of soul searching. God is teaching me a great deal about wisdom. Now, at one level, the whole Bible is about wisdom. Many of us, for wisdom, would go to the book of Proverbs. That's a great place to start. Proverbs teaches that wisdom leads to life, that righteousness is rewarded. There's a lot of if-then thinking in the book of Proverbs. Everybody should read the book of Proverbs. I think it has 31 chapters for a reason. You can read a chapter every day. It will bless you. Everybody should just do that. It works most of the time. Because the book of Proverbs are not a series of promises, but a series of principles. And there is other wisdom literature in the Bible. Ecclesiastes, which introduces irony. King Solomon had it all. Power, wealth, women, wine, whatever he wanted, and he hated it. He got everything that most guys go after, and it turned to ash in his mouth. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, he wrote. But even when life is ironic, God is still God, and God is still sovereign. There's even more wisdom literature in the Bible. It's the book of Job. Now, Job is downright tragic. I mean, all his kids die at the beginning of the book. His life is all but snuffed out. Now, to be clear, I'm not Job. Nobody's dying here. In fact, in the annals of church history, this transition is literally no big deal. Compared to churches around the world, compared to churches in our city, we are hugely blessed. Can I just tell you, Jesus has got sunrise. And Jesus has got us. We can just let go of worry. Job was the kind of guy who did the things that Proverbs says. He's described early on in the book as blameless and righteous. But Job still suffered. He was subject to things that are beyond his control. And yet God was still God and God is still sovereign. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." God pursues his own glory. In Proverbs, when things kind of work as you would expect, in Ecclesiastes, when there is irony, even in Job, where there is downright suffering and tragedy. What about you? Have you ever gone through something a little bit ironic? Have you ever experienced a sudden disappointment? Has there ever been anything connected to you that you just felt was tragic? Where the floor just fell out beneath you? One of my friends says, "Hey, just love God and love people." That's right. That is in the Bible. It sounds simple. It is not always simple to love God amid ironic and disappointing and even tragic events of life. It is not always simple to love people. Any one of us are capable of making choices that are ironic and disappointing and maybe even a little tragic. But there is one who strangely can make even irony and disappointment and tragedy work out for his glory and for our good. We would have a very different scripture without Ecclesiastes and without Job. I am so grateful those books are in the Bible because irony, disappointment, and tragedy are part of life. And yet God is still God and God is still sovereign. There are things that we wouldn't choose to have fall into our lives, but God in his wisdom allows. And in the end, it is okay. In the end, it is actually even good. Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible. If you compare Job's lifestyle to the lifestyle of Abraham, they're very similar. Abraham appears at the end of Genesis chapter 11, and then you have Genesis chapter 12. And so, I mean, that's really early in the scripture. The Jew-Gentile divisions that characterize so much of the scripture, Old Testament and New, they're totally absent in the book of Job, indicating that the book of Job occurred before all of that. The book of Job was written centuries before Jesus Christ walked the earth. Perhaps more than nearly anyone in Scripture, Job knew about irony and disappointment and tragedy. And yet he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. And that in the end, he will stand on this earth. Does that sound at all to you like the Apostle Paul? Does that sound at all to you like New Testament faith? Job had a Redeemer. And that Redeemer has come to this earth. That Redeemer is coming back to this earth. Now I have a Redeemer who's using all of this in my life. And my friend, you have a Redeemer too. And he wants to use this and even irony and disappointment and tragedy that you may have experienced for your good. And for His glory, so that you and I can say together, I know that my Redeemer lives. He does, my friends. He is capable of redeeming anything you are going through. In the end, He will stand on this earth. He will rule as a king. He will come in power and might. He will make all things right. He will stop every tear. We can trust Him, friends, with all things. So finally, I thank God for you. Thank you for being servants. You might wonder what we do between Sundays, those of us on staff. Pretty much sip lemonade in the other building. Not really. But one of the things we talk about is that Sunrise is a church of servants. There is a servant-heartedness, there is a servanthood, a servant attitude in this body, in you. And it is a glorious thing. I praise God for that. Thank you for encouraging me. I'm in that love language terminology. I'm kind of a words of affirmation guy. So your kind notes, texts, and emails and so have meant so much to me. Thank you for being so generous, for supporting financially each one of those short-term mission teams and our students. That we have people in our church who don't have children in our church, and they say, I want to be sure that another student can go to you. And they make it happen. Thank you. Thank you for giving so that that benevolent fund could be used with ridiculous acts of generosity and grace to people in our church and to people beyond our church, in our community, people in need. Thank you for praying for our boys. You know, when we arrived, we said, if you love us, pray for our kids. That's all we ask. And you did. And our boys have been blessed. Thank you. Josh just finished his junior year of high school. Jonah finished his first year of college. And on Saturday, Noah will graduate from college. Amen. Over 5 years ago, Sunrise leaders approached me and asked me to come to Sunrise. And I said yes. I have always loved Sunrise and I always will. I believed I could help. I have peace believing that I have used the gifts that God has given me to serve the cause of Christ at Sunrise. And I have peace that I have grown as a pastor and as a person. Thank you for being a part of my growth. It's curious how mystery and God's sovereignty coincide. I want to tell you something. Some months ago, during a worship service just like this, I was worshiping God along with you right there where I normally sit and stand. I was singing a song, And all of a sudden, I had a distinct impression that God was speaking to me. That doesn't happen to me all the time, and I don't share this lightly. He was telling me to prostrate myself. And I have done that at home. I've done that at spiritual retreat kinds of moments. But I began to wrestle with that. One of the things I thought was, God, people will notice. Pretty spiritually mature, right? But it occurred to me, as that worship song continued, hey, Derek, you're a Christian. You're in church. You're worshiping God. God is talking to you. Maybe you should do what He says. So I did, and I laid face down, put my nose in the carpet, and continued to sing. And God spoke to me again. It was clear. It was distinct. God said to me, "Give me back the church." Initially, I thought that meant relax. Don't work quite as hard. Trust me more with the many concerns of the church. And I carried on for a number of weeks in that mentality. I now no longer think that that is what that meant. I believe that God was calling me then to vacate my position as the senior pastor of Sunrise Community Church and to trust you completely to Him. That is what is happening. And I believe that this can bring us great hope because God still speaks. If God could speak to me, God can speak to the man that He has identified to lead Sunrise forward. God can speak to me and to my family and to others that we'll need to connect with to discern how we could best serve Him going forward. God speaks. He is in this. And we are concerned for one another. I am concerned for you. You are concerned for me. This is right and good because we love one another. But there is someone else in the mix. So friends, I am challenging you to trust Jesus Christ with the Zand family. Even as I seek to trust Jesus Christ with you. Focusing on Jesus is where we're going to find comfort and relief, direction and hope. You know, sometimes the very sweetest worship comes when everything in us would take us one direction, but we surrender, we submit, and God's Spirit ushers us in to a kind of worship that is a sacrifice of praise. It comes not so much from us, but from Him in us. Nothing's changed in heaven. Nothing's changed in the pages of the Bible. Absolutely nothing has changed in my heart for you. Nothing's changed in God's heart for you. So today I want to lead you into worship. You may be feeling any number of things. I recognize that and I respect that. But gently, but firmly, I want to call on you to worship our Redeemer, the one who lives and who will always live, the one who has come to earth, who Job foresaw, who Paul described, who the Bible writers prophesy will come again. It is in Him that we find our hope. Would you join me by standing as we worship Him?